We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Yeah, I just went out there and did what Swaggy P do. Teammates played great, and we came out with the victory, you know?
I'm just trying to really get my NBA 2K rating up.
You know, it's 12:02 right now. If they want to fire me at 12:05, I'll go home and find something to do. I'll have a good day.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel. It's Friday, April 5th, 2019. Alex Berutha here, next to Shannon McEwen, and on the line is Ken K-Train Kreitz. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, rotowire.com. We would appreciate a nice review. This is our last Friday podcast of the year. It will be a little abbreviated because I have the famed NBA illness, the upper respiratory infection. I'm on my second cup of tea of the day, and I still can't hear, smell, taste, or feel anything. But after
that's one of the most manly things you've ever said. Thank I'm on you. My second cup of tea.
Yes. I do it for the fans. So the main topic of the show, we're gonna just run through some recap, some fantasy awards. But first, some news. My Milwaukee Bucks looked great last night, defeating the Philadelphia 76ers 128-122 in Philly, despite Eric Bledsoe getting ejected minutes into the game for throwing a basketball at Joel Embiid, or the basketball, not just a basketball.
playoff intensity. I love right, it.
Yes. Giannis had 45, 13, and 6, and 5 blocks, a few of which were just nasty. Almost killed Joel Embiid on when he tried to dunk. Can we agree? I mean, are the Bucks definitely the favorite in the East, or is there still some hope for, I guess, the other, you know, Celtics, Toronto?
There's no hope. It's the Bucks. You know, I heard a stat the other day. The Bucks won their 45th game of the season by double digits, and that had only been done by like 7 or 8 teams ever in the history of basketball. And those 7 or 8 teams are the 7 or 8 best teams ever. It's like Jordan's Bulls, the the first iteration of the Warriors from a few years ago, like Hakeem's Rockets, all the great, the Showtime Lakers, the Lakers team from the 60s or 70s that won 30 games in a row, like all of the greatest teams ever are the only ones who have accomplished that, and the Bucks have done it.
Alex, Ken, I propose a wager here. Oh, sure. I propose a wager here, Alex. You and I, Las Vegas, a beer in the Vegas meeting. You get the Bucks. I take the East, the rest of the East for the finals.
Yeah, I'll wager a beer. I don't drink, so I'll have to. We'll figure something else out.
All right, sorry.
We'll maybe just do. I'll just take $5 milk from you and put it on roulette or something.
Listen, I'm fairly certain that, like, to me, if the Bucks don't make the finals, and this, I'm not a Bucks fan. I'm a Pistons fan.
If I know.
The Bucks don't make the finals, it's a huge disappointment. Based on everything they've done this year, this isn't like the Atlanta Hawks having a stellar regular season a few years ago with Millsap and Korver and Horford and those guys.
Yeah.
Like, that team didn't have the type of analytics behind it that this Bucks team does.
Or
like,
top two MVP candidate.
But Shannon, they're young. It's not like the window is closing this year, right?
Eric Bledsoe's young. Brooke Lopez is young. Chris Middleton is young. What are you? No, they're not young. Even Giannis isn't young. The dude's been in the NBA for like 5 years, right? He's not young. They're not young. I don't buy that. Even, dude, Brogdon's older than me. I don't care that he's only played 3 years. They're not young.
Oddly enough, Shannon and Brogdon both smoke. Both still smoking.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry, but that's not an excuse. Like, if you look at the analytics,
think the window closes this year because they can't keep Middleton and Brooks.
I'm not saying that the window is even going to close. I'm just saying, based on everything they've done this year, and you compare it to the historical equivalent, like, it would be a huge disappointment. They are good enough to make the finals. They are much better than any other team in the East. I promise you, Toronto's going to lose in the first round, Detroit, so it doesn't matter.
Well, a team on the other side of the standings, the Suns, Ken.
Devin Booker shut down for the last three games of the season due to an ankle injury. With no Booker, Oubre, or Ayton, who leads Phoenix, the woeful Phoenix Suns, in scoring these last three games? The Suns face the Pelicans tonight, gentlemen.
We're going to see the same thing we saw from Josh Jackson last year when he finished the season strong. He's been playing really well.
No, I know. It's like, just like Josh Jackson. I know. Your team
everyone hates on him. But it's hilarious because you see, I saw numerous fantasy experts on Twitter, like within the past handful of days, all say like Josh Jackson must own, you know, got to pick him up. He's going to be an impact player for the final five, six games. And these are the same people who have hated on him numerous times because of all of his inefficiencies.
5,800, by the way, on FanDuel tonight, Josh Jackson, 5,800.
So over the past three games, he's averaging 13.7, 6 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 2 blocks. Yeah, he's even hitting a three a game. I think it's Josh Jackson. I think he's going to pour in like 18, 19 points per game for the final three or four.
For tonight, Alex, sorry, I want to hear your opinion, but tonight, do you guys prefer Josh Jackson at 5,800 or Dragan Bender at a clean 5,000?
Jackson.
They both get a crazy amount of run, right?
They both are terribly inconsistent and are prone to putting up a single-digit fantasy night, even if they play 30 minutes. But only one of those two has put up like multiple 40 or 50 point games this year, and that's Josh Jackson. Like, his ceiling's way higher.
Right. I agree with Shannon for who will lead the team in scoring. I think it's Josh Jackson. Jimmer Fredette hasn't made a three yet, so he's due. Maybe he'll get hot the last three games. My issue for them would be like for just DFS, like what's their over under on average points per game for the final three games, like 85, like 90.
I think they're going to score. They're
going
to lose by 30.
They're going to lose by, it'll be 100 to 140.
Yeah, they'll lose 135 to 105, but I think they'll score.
Okay.
How about forcing Michael Bridges to shoot 15 attempts? Kind of like the Kevin Knox force training in New York. Like, Bridges, we have high hopes for you. We know you're never going to be the team's leading scorer. But enjoy a three-game run here. I like, make him shoot.
Yeah. He That would be nice. I don't know if he has it in him. Like my comp for Bridges is like Otto Porter. Like that's his ceiling.
Right.
Comp. But
ceiling.
Even
ceiling.
Even when you use Otto Porter as a comp, like Bridges and Otto Porter were much different players coming into the NBA. Bridges was a complementary piece with Villanova, whereas Otto Porter was the centerpiece with Georgetown. The offense ran through him.
Right.
He had a high usage, everything else. Like Bridges is
Villanova team way that Villanova team way better than that
right.
Georgetown.
But Bridges has never been that guy, like where he's going to be, you know, it's not a big surprise that Otto Porter saw an increase in usage and started scoring more when he went to the Bulls. Because we've seen that from him. He has that track record, you know, going back to college. Bridges, I've never seen that from him. So I wonder if he's ever going to be more than just that third or fourth glue guy, like a better Danny Green or a lesser version of the Wizards' Otto Porter.
So neither of you think Holmes could lead them. He's probable to play tonight. 7,700, I think, on FanDuel tonight. Obviously, ton of minutes with Ayton gone.
It's possible. He's a great... he's a great DFS play for sure.
Not cheap though.
Yeah, he's too expensive.
Not cheap. I guess I didn't 77.
Check.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
Way too expensive.
Can you imagine being a season ticket holder in Phoenix? Period. But then also like paying $175 for tonight's ticket on this Pelicans Suns turd fest at the end of the season.
It's gonna be bad.
Yeah.
Holmes has the upside. He could be the leading scorer. I just think Jackson's gonna. I think he's going to chuck up like 18 to 20 shots a game.
Yeah, I think so.
There's no future, though, in Jackson to Phoenix. At best, he's a six man. Just force Bridges. Just make it happen.
Hold up. Jackson's 22. He was a top five pick a year ago. 2017 draft. There's still a future, all right? Let's not be ridiculous. That's it. That's all I got.
I was waiting for the inevitable D'Angelo Russell explanation, the cause to chastising we receive.
The ceiling
every time
between,
you dog a young guy.
If you're talking like ceiling between Bridges and Jackson, it's still higher for Jackson. It hasn't been encouraging what we've seen from him, but it's still higher for him than it is for Bridges.
Well, speaking of some Western Conference bottom feeders, Mavs Grizz tonight, definitely a must watch. Everyone's questionable. Luka Doncic, Brunson, Dwight Powell, Valanciunas is done. Mike Conley, doubtful. Noah's questionable. Avery Bradley's out. Is there anyone, Ken, who are you targeting in this game?
Well, I think you got to spend a little on DeLon Wright, right? He's going to start for your Grizzlies with Conley gone and probably done for the season. In nine starts, Wright's averaged 13-6-6, plus he's played a little better past few starts. Also 1.8 steals a game. He's 7,000 on FanDuel tonight, which isn't super cheap, but the fact that he may be facing Dirk Nowitzki and four chairs, I think Wright has a big opportunity tonight.
So for me, I like on the Memphis side, Tyler Dorsey only 3,900. And to me, I mean, Wright is too expensive at this stage. I would rather go with someone who costs 3,900 than 7,000. I agree. Wright's a higher floor than Dorsey. But if I'm rolling the dice on one, I'd pick Dorsey. On the Dallas side, I love Trey Burke tonight. Because if everyone's sitting for Dallas, there's got to be someone to take the shot. So why not Burke?
I have to agree with that.
Well, and frankly, interesting you compare Wright to Dorsey because FanDuel has Wright at shooting guard, not at point guard, as you suspect. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, you know it's late in the season when we're saying DeLon Wright is too expensive on FanDuel.
Ivan Rabb, whatever, 6,500. He's worth a play, too, assuming Noah's out, which is...
Got to play him at power forward, though. You could play him at center. I play him at power forward, unfortunately.
Yep.
Ken, we saw a massive putback dunk from an unsuspecting character last night.
Oh, you and I were both DMing about this. Alex Caruso with a huge putback dunk last night for the Lakers over the Warriors. You must Google this. We will post it with the podcast article. But in all seriousness, guys,
This G Leaguer call-up, he's shooting 50% from three-point land in 38 attempts. Isn't he exactly the type of shooter L.A. needs in their lineup? Not the terrible overball handling drive and dish guys they've forced?
I mean, Alex Caruso is the butt of a lot of jokes, but he's okay. I mean, he's proven. I think he played last
put
year.
Better hair on, put better hair on that guy, and people are not making jokes.
Speaking of hair, I just assumed he was like a balding T.J. McConnell until I saw that dunk from last night. And yeah. I mean, he's 6'5". He's got legit
he's got
size.
A few inches. He's got a few inches of McConnell. Yeah, yeah.
There's video of him in college going behind the back in transition, rising up and postering somebody, which I found after this particular dunk. So sneaky athletic, some might say.
He could be a poor man's Kyle Korver, right? Hit three, just catch and shoot. That's all LeBron should have.
I know he's shooting 50%, but he's from three, but he's not that kind of shooter. He's at least piqued my interest. My guess is every year there's guys like this who come up down the stretch, last 15 games, play on a horrible team and put up decent stats. I would be amazed if he caught on and had a role of like 20 plus minutes anywhere next year.
Yeah. Well, fantasy basketball season is not over, despite the fact that the regular season is almost over. FanDuel is offering the most exciting ways to play fantasy basketball, no matter what you're looking for. FanDuel is something for everyone. Tons of different contests and formats to choose from, starting at just 25 cents. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and enjoy watching the results in real time. Shannon, I know you love FanDuel.
I do.
You have any... What's been happening with you lately on FanDuel?
It hasn't been too great. A lot of minimum cashes. That's how I roll. That gets the job done,
alive.
Right?
Staying afloat.
Keeps my bankroll going.
So you can play against your friends for bragging rights, or, like Shannon, play against the public for millions in cash prizes. Take advantage of our special offer for new users. Sign up today at FanDuel.com/RW. You'll get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription with your first deposit on FanDuel, DFS lineup optimizers, premium articles, draft software, and much more. Just visit FanDuel.com/RW, void where prohibited.
New FanDuel registrants only. Restrictions do apply. See FanDuel.com/RW for details.
So we're going to touch on some fantasy basketball awards. These may mirror the actual awards, although the NBA does not hand out biggest bust of the year award, strangely. we will, though. So for MVP, fantasy MVP, I'm going Harden. Shannon?
It's tough. All right, so if we're saying fantasy MVP, it's just the guy who's probably on the most, like if you're finishing in the money in your league. Likely Harden. If you had Harden, you're probably finishing in the money. So yes, overall value, Harden would be number one. Also, the fact that he wasn't like a consensus top one, two, or three pick this year, he dropped to 4, 5, 6 in a lot of drafts.
Right.
Like that just makes him even more valuable.
How about you, Ken?
I would argue that Shannon kind of called Harden being awesome because you were bad mouthing Chris Paul this summer.
Yeah, Chris Paul's old, man. And he's an asshole.
Well, I think there are other ways to look at this, too. You could argue, you know, who's the best.
If you got George second round, you might be your MVP as well.
Exactly. You could have got Paul George with, like, the 12th pick.
I think if you're looking at, like, purely from a value perspective, who was the guy who overachieved and probably was on a lot of championship teams. I think Vucevic might be the guy. Pre-draft rank of 59 on Yahoo, finished ranked top 20 overall. I think a lot of us, including myself, with Mo Bamba there,
right.
Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, I thought there was no way he was going to be a top 30, top 40
in its decline.
Yeah.
Right. And he's a guy who I have as a candidate for sleeper of the year. We'll get to that in a sec. Ken, do you agree that it's Harden for MVP?
I do. I think it's Giannis for real MVP, but for fantasy, hands down, it's James Harden. He had that 6-week stretch when Paul was mostly out that was just untouchable.
And all you got to do is look at FanDuel and see who's averaging the most fantasy points per game. And it's Harden by a significant gap. I mean, it's really not that close.
Right. So sleeper of the year, we have Vucevic, who may be the favorite. And then other guys, Siakam. I'm not even sure he got drafted in some leagues.
He was outside the top 200. His ADP was outside the top 200.
That's crazy.
Not drafted in most 10 or 12 team leagues.
Right.
So are you taking Siakam, Shannon, over your guy in Brooklyn?
For sleeper?
Yes.
Sleeper of the year.
I do. I think it's Siakam. Far and away. Like, there's Siakam, you can say he's the sleeper of the year, he's the pickup of the year. You could argue he's the MVP for fantasy because of the same reason. He's in the discussion for all of that.
Ken, your guy Montrezl Harrell, do you think he holds a candle to these guys?
He deserves a mention. I'll just throw it out there.
I agree. Some other honorable mentions, Bradley Beal. Situation's a little complicated with John Wall.
Actually, the key with Beal, right, and why he's so valuable if you have him in a keeper league is, you know, I bet Wall plays 15 or less games next year. You know, so Beal's going to just continue to dominate on a terrible Wizards squad.
Right. Brook Lopez, Danilo Gallinari, and Buddy Hield, also other candidates for Sleeper of the Year. Rookie of the Year, is this just
Does Lopez stay in Milwaukee next year? It's perfect situation for him.
I think there's a good chance. There's a good chance, but at the same time, there's also a very good chance someone vastly overpays for him.
Yeah.
And this will be his last. Like, it's just going to be whatever his priority is. If it's to stay in Milwaukee, which if you listen to anyone from that team talk, it really sounds like they want to stay together. They enjoy playing with each other. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them sign deals kind of under market value.
Give them a discount.
Yeah, to stay. And honestly, Middleton and Lopez and these guys seem like the type of dudes who would do that. But there's also a chance some teams like, we'll give you $20 million
right.
per year for 3 years to come finish your career with us. So who knows?
Rookie of the year. I think Doncic is the front runner. Trae Young and Marvin Bagley, in my opinion, will be the runner-ups. And I put Bagley over Ayton just because from a value perspective, you could probably get Bagley outside the top 100.
Yeah.
People thought he was just going to be bad. And it's not the case at all. Or
more minutes struggle, too. Like, Ayton clearly was going to get 30 a game, and you just didn't know Bagley's minutes per game. And you know, he was never started, not really. I mean, a few games, but if the value was there. He didn't miss 20 games. But where do you stand, Shen?
It's an interesting debate. And there are a lot of question marks. Ayton was the most expensive on draft day, at least in all of my drafts.
Yes.
Luka was also very expensive.
He was.
Trae Young was on discount. Jaren Jackson Jr. cost more than Trae Young. He cost more than Luka in some drafts I was in. But overall, 8-category value for this year based on game averages, Ayton actually finished ahead of everyone else.
Sure.
You know, he was a legit top 50 fantasy player this year for 8-category leagues. Luka and Trey both finished top 60. They're 55 and 58. It's tough. I think any one of those is the right answer. You probably have to go with Luka for overall value. If you're looking at someone who, so Luka's my
efficiency
pick.
Luka's
my pick, but if you go with someone who's like more of a surprise, someone who's outside, you know, not on the radar, then you bring in Mitchell Robinson into the discussion. Bagley, as you mentioned, he's missed too many games, but he's been way better than anyone thought he would be.
Right.
I mean, Mitchell Robinson really is probably the most underrated or the sleeper rookie or whatever you want to call it. He might get that just from the past 30, just for the final 30 games of the season. But overall MVP, Luka gets the edge.
Yeah, I'm also going to lean Luka. In 8-category leagues, you give it to Ayton probably, although he costs the most. But if you're in a points league or you play DFS, I think it's Luka because I'm pretty sure in a points league he ends up with more fantasy points, you know, just rebounds, assists, stuff like that.
The Trae Young thing, another thing to consider. I own Trae Young a lot of places, including our staff keeper league, and like I'm like top two in every counting category in that league, but my percentages and my field, I'm last in field goal percentage. I own Trae Young for the first 2 months of the season, and then I ended up trading him because I got pieces for this year and traded all my long-term keepers. And Trae Young sank my field goal percentage those first 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
And it was impossible to claw back up, or at least I didn't do a good enough job clawing back up. So there's that. I mean, in rotisserie leagues in particular, that makes it harder for me to even argue Trae Young's side. Like, he's been great ever since then. But I don't know if it's been good enough to bring you up out of those depths that you likely were in with that, in that one category.
The rotis harm is genuine. I have to kind of mea culpa, though, to the Hawks here. I was dogging for this trade. But clearly the wise long view says, hey, you know, because of that deal, the Hawks have the number 7 pick this year because of that trade. And ESPN saying that's Jarrett Culver, the electric shooting guard from Texas Tech, or maybe Cam Reddish, the 6'9 freshman small forward from Duke. So in the real world, the final story is not yet written on that trade. We got to see who Atlanta gets and what they do with that player.
Yeah, it's top 5 protected. Dallas could end up keeping the pick. And it's actually close. It looked like a month ago it wasn't going to be close. That, like, there's no way Dallas would be one of the 5 worst records in the league. But they're making a fight of it by losing a ton of games. And that game
maybe another reason why a lot of guys are sitting tonight against Memphis.
That's absolutely why. They are tied. They have the same record. They're both right there at that 7 range where they could easily drop down to the 5th worst record in the league by the end of the season.
Well, we're going to move on to bust of the year. You can interpret this in a variety of different ways. Some guys I decided to throw out there as candidates: Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, Torian Prince, Gordon Hayward, and Isaiah Thomas. Ken, do you have any particular way you're leaning, or just insights?
Well, I want to whine about LeBron having only played 55 games. Free throw shooting was down to 66.5%. So he kind of clobbered a few of my teams. Is also down about almost an assist a game. I don't think you can dog Hayward or Thomas too much, because if you didn't realize the injury risk there, you were making a foolish move, in my opinion. But Allen and Mitchell, I know you've got some insight, Shannon, on Mitchell. Yeah, Allen just did not take the leap. You know, he's frankly a decent play at center, still got 1.5 blocks a game. The free throw percentage drop to 70 was painful. But 11-8, not terrible. It's kind of in Marcin Gortat range, though. But Shannon, talk to me about Donovan Mitchell.
I don't think it's Donovan Mitchell. He was still a top 45 player in 8 category leagues based on averages. He's turned it on over the past 30 or 40 games. He started off slow, just like he did his rookie year. Is it disappointing that he hasn't been a top 20 player? Sure, but he still provided significant value as a top 50 guy. Now, I look at guys like Torian Prince and Jarrett Allen, and to me, it's between one of those two. I know Prince has dealt with some injuries, but neither one had a significant injury where they're missing 30 games. And I don't like to factor that into who would be a bust anyways. I want to go based on performance. And these are two guys who were very popular breakout candidate picks in every expert league I was in. They were picked in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round. In almost all cases, they were both ranked as like top 50, top 55 guys heading into the drafts, and you had to reach to get them. And neither one came close to it. 104 for Prince and 99 for Allen. Those are the two big, those two and Jonathan Isaac. I'm going to add him.
Sure.
Those are the three guys, and they were all reaches by experts who are, and I'm guilty of it as well. I loved all three going into the draft. So, like, you know, give me those three over a guy like John Collins, who you might have drafted in, like, 3rd round. John Collins was great. He just missed time because of an injury, more time than we expected. But Prince, Isaac, and Isaac's turned down a little bit, so I feel like it's not him. But I go with Torian Prince as my bust of the year.
Is Prince – the red flag or the learning for next year is –
you really do need to drastically review a team's roster when they have a top five pick and how they're going to plan to use that guy. I mean, Atlanta was clearly going to be all in on Trae Young. And then it gets to be, okay, well, who plays well and who does not play well with the all-in rookie?
Sure.
I felt like Prince actually fit the needs for Atlanta well, fit around John Collins and Trae Young well. 3-and-D wing, showed vast improvements the previous year. He blew up. When the Hawks decided to tank and everyone was injured, he blew up down the stretch, the final 20, 30 games of last season. He was fantastic. I fully expected him to take another leap. I mean, he averaged 14, 5, 2.5, a couple three-pointers per game, was getting steals. I thought he was going to be great this year.
Well, you know what's odd, too, is his shooting percentage actually went up 2 points this year, which you'd not expect. Certainly missing 30 games is a pain. But yeah, I just kind of assumed until I looked it up today that his shooting percentage went down. But no, he actually shot a little better.
Yeah, and I still worry that maybe the injury is bringing him down a little bit. I'm personally going to pick Jared Allen. Like Shannon mentioned, too, he got reached for a lot. And I think partially because the center position is thought of as relatively thin.
Yes.
But at the same time, there were other guys who you could have probably picked that you knew were going to get the kind of production that you hoped Allen would get.
Jared Allen's been great, too. That's the thing. Like, he's actually been really good.
Right. The only Nets issue, are winning.
Yeah, and the only issue is, 59% from the floor, 71% from the line, 11, 8.5, 1.5 blocks, but he's only playing 26 minutes per game. And that's the issue with Jared Allen. If Jared Allen would have seen 31 minutes per game, he would have held value. He would have been a top 60 guy. But
is the issue with Allen that he's a 1990s center playing in 2019? He's just kind of old school. I stand by the Marcin Gortat comp in that he doesn't necessarily fit the 4-out-1-in offenses of today.
I don't know if it's too much of an issue just because he's a theoretically a solid rebounder, good shot blocker. Like, he's played in 14 games this season that he's played between 30 and 39 minutes. He's averaging 14 and 10 with 2 blocks and shooting 61%. So
he's not far off from being Miles Turner.
Yes, without the three.
Yeah.
And he's still really young, and maybe that's part of it. We know Kenny Atkinson generally doesn't like to play guys big minutes, but I mean, Jared Allen is turning 21 this month or next month.
And I've seen him hit threes.
Though Atkinson isn't going anywhere, meaning I don't know if Allen's minutes change that much in the next year or two, or at least next season.
I think I'm still going to be high on him going to next year. One, I mean, he is developing a three-point shot. It's not good. He can hit threes. You know, he's had 44 attempts this year. He's only shooting 13%. Not good, obviously. But when you're talking about half an attempt per game, he's going to develop. He's going to develop that shot. He's going to be taking more threes as he progresses. He's going to play once he develops that, and he gets older and gets better at just his defensive assignments. Everything else, he's going to get more run. The talent is there, so I still believe in him long term. But he was definitely a disappointment this year. We didn't see the breakout we expected.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely one of those guys you would love to have in a keeper league. But if you're in a redraft league, maybe you kind of just wait on him year after year until you actually see the three-pointer come together. It's a tough call. I'm sure he's a guy that I've always been on record. Or him and Miles Turner, I'll be like, I'll draft them too high again next year. Like, see you guys next year.
Shannon, how are you feeling this morning?
Well, I wake up in the morning, I've got brain fog, I'm feeling lazy, confused. Your job or jobs require you to be on top of everything, but your mind often slows down. Your attention drifts.
You got to be sharp for this pod, baby.
Absolutely have to be. I have to remember how horrible Ken's takes are going to be.
Coffee. I got a word about that.
Coffee, prescription meds have failed, leaving you with jitters and lack of sleep. Worst of all, it keeps happening when you need to be on top of your game. Lucky for you, Onnit may have the answer. With a team of scientists and researchers, Onnit took the best earth-grown botanicals and created a one-of-a-kind cognitive enhancer called Alpha Brain. It could be the solution you've been looking for. Alpha Brain works. It has been clinically studied to help healthy individuals support memory, focus, processing speeds, and more. It's made from natural, normal ingredients found in nature. And for a limited time, Ana is giving you the chance to try Alpha Brain for free. Just pay shipping. If you're not satisfied, keep the bottle. Ana will give you a full refund. You don't even have to call. No hoops, no catch, nothing. It's as easy as it possibly can be. Risk-free, 100% money-back guarantee. Go to onnit.com/rotowire and try it today.
Daily Fantasy Basketball. So, anyone that you guys are targeting specifically, any games that stand out to you? A lot of the over-unders have yet to be released, at least according to our website.
So many game-time decision guys, I think, holding that back. I'll jump in first, sure. Alex, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
I'll go Gordon Hayward at 5,400 in actually a pretty important Celtics-Pacers game tonight. Hayward's led the C's in scoring two of the last three nights, and they've really been leaning on him. He's playing that Manu Ginobili role off the bench. 5,400, I like Hayward tonight at Indiana.
Yeah, I think, Hayward's a guy who everyone on this slate, I don't want to say everyone, but a lot of people on this slate should have low ownership because there's, 13 games?
It's a busy night.
Busy night. So you don't have to worry too much about ownership percentages in general. And yeah, Gordon Hayward, especially in the Miami game, looked a lot more like himself. Slasher, three-point shooter, just athlete.
45 fantasy points.
Exactly.
We've got Dallas, or I'm sorry, let me roll that back. New Orleans and Phoenix is the highest over-under of the night. 232 points. Should be a competitive game between two horrible teams.
Could be an all-star game. There's no defense, just keep throwing it full court.
It's an odd night. There might be a lot of blowouts, and there are a lot of games with low over-unders. Boston, Indiana, obviously low over-under. Those are two of the best defensive teams in the league. Detroit's playing in Oklahoma City. I expect Detroit to get blown out on the road. Sacramento is in Utah. I expect Sacramento to get blown out on the road. Cleveland in Golden State, another blowout. It's the home teams, the bad teams, Cleveland, Sacramento, Detroit. I'm not as worried about targeting. Well, Detroit, a little bit different. They could save guys. If it's a blowout, they'll rest their starters. But Cleveland, Colin Sexton's going to get his run no matter what, even when they're down by 30. There are just a lot of games. Keep in mind the blowout potential for some of these games because I see it on at least a handful of them.
Yeah, and one thing to keep in mind too is, I think the pricing at this time of year is less forgivable because of all the injuries. I think when a guy has a good night, they're more prone to jump up quickly. Thomas Bryant is already back up to 8,100. It's hard to, you want to play him, but you're,
That's really expensive.
Yes.
I had Harden. My first stab at lineups for DFS, I've Harden in my lineups. But I'm looking at this now, and it's the Knicks are coming down to Houston. The Rockets are favored by 16 points, 17 points. I don't know if Harden plays the fourth quarter of that game. And he might.
Yeah, exactly.
He could have 50 fantasy points by then. But I'm looking at it now, and I'm probably going to take Harden out of my lineup. I'm going to try to go.
They don't have enough to play for either.
No, they are playing for the number two seed. They need to win. But my take is that they're already going to have a win in the books, 25 minutes into the game. Time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I have two entertaining go with your heart, not your wallet suggestions.
Sure.
Just for giggles. Evan Turner coming off back-to-back triple doubles off the bench. 4,800 at Denver. Portland also still something to play for. And then here's a farewell tour. Dirk Nowitzki at 3,800 starting for your Mavericks. Part of the Tankapalooza in Dallas. He might see 28 minutes.
He could. The Turner pick is interesting, but I do worry about the fact that they're playing Denver. This is a team that's also playing for their division. They're playing for their division. They're playing for the number two seed. Portland's only two games back of Denver. They play back-to-back games against each other right now on the schedule. Portland and Turner in particular, those were two games against bad teams. Minnesota and Memphis. The Memphis game was a total blowout, and that's the only reason why Turner got a triple-double. He saw extended run because Denver won by 30 points. So I do worry that Turner's still a solid play. He's cheap, but against Denver in a competitive game, I worry if he's actually can get that kind of run to be great.
That's the smart, logical answer. I was purely going for entertainment value.
No, it's there. I think two of my favorite picks from tonight are Trey Burke, as mentioned. I'm assuming Brunson and Luka both sit out. If that's the case, I think Trey Burke's a great value at 4,200. Even coming off the bench for the Mavs, he's been productive lately. He's hit 30 fantasy points or more in two of the past three games. If he's on court and plays 34 minutes, I think he's a lock for 30 to 40 fantasy points. I also like Josh Jackson quite a bit. We discussed him earlier, 5,800. I think he's going to chuck up 20 shots. He's going to play 38 minutes. My center that I like, there's a lot of centers who have been extremely productive lately. You know, we mentioned Thomas Bryant, but there are cheaper guys. One of the guys, not cheap, but lower price than Thomas Bryant that I like is Enes Kanter. I expect it to be a competitive game in Denver. He actually blew up and had like 40 fantasy points in 21 minutes against Denver earlier this season. So I like that matchup for him. I think he could have a nice night, and he's coming off three straight 40-point outings.
In that same price range of the Enes Kanter, just $100 more, Al Horford tonight, 7,300. You already mentioned Celtics need it tonight against the Pacers, playing for home field in the first round. So I'm gonna mention Horford in that same Enes Kanter realm.
Yeah, home field is very important in the NBA.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, maybe this is one of those nights where you kind of pivot off of everyone's searching for these like Thomas Bryant, you know, Josh Jackson values. I'm sure Al Horford is going to go severely underowned. And you look at his recent game log. I mean, over the past six games, he's averaging 41 fantasy points. He's only 7,300. Yeah. He's been getting some time off, you know, for rest. He's dealing with a sore knee.
He's probable for tonight. But when he plays, frankly, he's as much a chance to lead the team in assists as Kyrie is. They run it through him on the elbow a lot. Again, though, this is Ken making another heart, not brain decision here, too, maybe. I don't know.
No, actually, I like that pick a lot. Me and a lot of other people might have glossed over it just because he's not the sexiest name on the board. But I'm going to keep that in mind when I'm building a lineup.
It's a big game. They're tied. I mean, they're playing for the four seed. You know, whoever wins tonight's game is going to have a huge advantage for that. So I see Horford being a solid option, a tough matchup. But the fact that Boston's going to run out everything, they're going to do anything they can to win this game.
Yeah. Okay. So Ken, do you have a rant today?
I do have a rant. Let me get to the rant and stop fiddling with my FanDuel lineup. today's rant, you know, winter sucks. What really sucks, though, is losing bets. Winning bets is fun, but losing bets sucks. So let's get to the wagers from this year's podcast season. We're going to fly through these fast because Shannon doesn't think our listeners care. I say it's the end of the pod, so what the heck? Anyway. Wager number one from Shannon. Jamal Murray will have a better fantasy season than Kemba Walker. Goo. Ken took that bet. Walker, hands down, better than Jamal Murray.
Hey, 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 hey.
Walker, roughly ranked, we'll call it 16 in nine category leagues. Murray, ranked right at 69, nine category leagues. Love Jamal Murray's game, but Walker, fantasy stud.
That bet was made 12 months ago. All right, it was made last season. That should be noted. It's not like I was drafting. It's not like I was drafting Murray over Kemba Walker. I actually owned Kemba Walker in 60% of my leagues this year. I loved him, and it helped me finished not in last place a couple times.
Not in last.
It was a bold statement, maybe a little too bold. Kemba Walker's record fairly well established.
So, Alex, one quick diatribe here. Alex and I were talking about Jamal Murray in this bet before the show, and I'm convinced that if you put Jamal Murray basically with Phoenix, he takes Devin Booker's spot. You put him on a bad team where he's able to have a crazy high usage and take 20 shots per game. He puts up the same stats as Devin Booker.
That's true of a ton of quality guys on good teams. I mean, yes, you always want to be the lone star on a crap team.
Okay.
For reference, I was looking this up earlier. I'll throw it out there quickly. When Jamal Murray sees between 15 and 25 shots a game, he averages 21.6 points, 5.1 assists, 4.9 rebounds, shoots 45% from the field. So similar, scoring is not as good as Devin Booker, but basically averaging 20 and 5.
Jamal Murray's next Brad Beal. I'll take it.
Right. Well, but the flip side of that is, you know, Kemba Walker is the only option on that Hornets team for quite some time, unless he signs elsewhere this summer. But last year, we knew the rest of the Hornets were going to stink.
No, that was part of the assumption. Part of the assumption was Kemba would be traded. I expected the Hornets to be bad, and Kemba would be traded, and his value would be tanked. Because
I'm willing to re-up the wager for next season. You want to go again, Murray Walker?
we can wait. We'll wait until draft season next year. I want to see where Kemba lands.
All right. I mean, if you change your mind, I'm right here. All right, second wager, yet to be determined. Pistons will go farther than the Celtics in the playoffs, but Shannon, I think you're a little worried the Pistons don't make the playoffs.
Well, they only have a one-game lead. I mean, they're sitting in the sixth seed, but they only have a one-game lead over the Heat, who are ninth in the East. So it is, and I expect the Pistons to lose tonight, even if Blake Griffin returns. It's going to be tough. I will say, I mean, for the Pistons to have a chance to win this bet for me, it's basically, you know, we made the bet when they were going to face Indiana.
They just beat the Raptors. Right. They just beat the Raptors.
Like, and the assumption was I should have waited until the playoff seeding was done. I admitted that 30 seconds after the trade, but I like to make dumb bets for my team.
You were a few Hams beers in, I think, when you texted me that wager.
Probably. I mean, it was about 8:30 a.m., so that makes sense.
Wager number two, I think, looking okay for me, obviously
we'll see.
A lot to be determined.
If the Pistons play, I already said it this show.
If they make
Indiana, they'll beat Indiana. And if they play Toronto, Dwayne Casey will exact his revenge.
Pistons
they
are
will
not
beat,
playing
they,
Indiana.
They will beat the Raptors in the first round. I'll double up on this bet. I've already offered it to everyone in the office. They are going to beat
the
Raptors.
You're doubling up? I'm just saying,
if they face Toronto, I'll make a separate bet saying Detroit over Toronto.
Yes. Those are horrible odds.
I know. I don't want good odds.
How many hams in are you now? Okay. Very good. Anyway, so I still like my chances, but also a good chance to push if both teams lose in the first round. Third wager, who will do better in this year's CBS RotoWire Expert Keeper League? Shannon was losing at the time, but said, I will pass you, Ken. So we wagered. This was complicated. We wagered a lunch. Alex gets to come to the lunch. There will be alcohol served at said lunch, though luckily Alex does not drink. That keeps the bill down. As of right now, I think I'm 5 points ahead. I was 7 points ahead when I wrote up last night. I think that shrunk to 5-point lead with about 3 games left per team. So I think you're going to owe us lunch. And I did suggest a cheap place to go, and you're like, no, Shannon. Shannon said, no, I will take you to a more expensive place.
As of December 17th, I've had the best team in that league, far and away. It's not even close. I am going to finish in first in 4 of the 5 counting stats. My team has been tanked by percentages. Mm-hmm. I could not recover. They were horrible. When I started making moves to play for this year, Ken, you know, you are going to finish above me, but I've had the best team since the bet was made. So I don't know.
I just wanted to hear those words. Ken, you will finish ahead of me. It looks like I'm going to finish second. I think, Shannon, you're looking at fourth. But we shall see. There's a few more games left. I like my chances. All right, and then NFBKC, RotoWire Experts Leagues, where it's your chance to beat Shannon, Alex, or myself.
Not hard.
Whoever finished highest receives a free hoodie from the two losers. As of last night, I was 57th. Shannon was 114th. Alex's squad, 136. So, gentlemen, it looks like you owe me a hoodie there.
Fair enough. We lost John Wall. That's my excuse.
Shannon, what was your excuse other than your lack of math with percentages?
No, it's Kevin Love. I mean, Kevin Love's my excuse in every one of my leagues.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the love.
My three main leagues that I give a crap about, I owned Kevin Love, and that is why. Mm-hmm. That is why.
I think, was that the end of our...
We've got Stake League.
Oh, yes.
So the big RotoWire Stake League. Shannon and I, we are doomed to be buyers, meaning we're finishing in the second half. We're going to have to pay for a steak dinner. Alex, you were ninth last night. Did you creep up around the border? You got a chance, Alex.
I did. I am relying way too much on DeAndre Ayton's ankle. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. And LeBron killed me in that one. And now Jordan's out too. It's just it's Armageddon.
I think we managed to get through
you this. You had love at stake, right?
What was that?
Shannon also had love on the Stake League team?
Yes. Stake League, NFBC, our Keeper League, Staff Keeper League, and one other league. So my four main leagues, I own Kevin Love, and that is why I've had a tough season. I drafted him essentially end of the second round value is where I was getting him. Third round in some cases, but still, if you lose, he was basically a complete non-factor this year.
All right, well, I'm really looking forward to my lunch. We'll take a picture for the podcast articles. Thank you for the wagers this year. Alex, what's left?
I don't think we had any mispronounced names. Not that I remember.
Ivan Rabb.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Okay. We mentioned home field.
I thought
field.
It was like Rub Rab Route Ruby.
We mentioned home field advantage. That's whatever. That's
I think bad, I heard yeah. a baseball Hurt. Commentator say home court the other day. So I think we have to give kind of pass on that one.
Okay. I was wondering why Shannon was saying home field's a big thing. And I'm like, what is he talking about? Oh, did I? And then I thought, oh, maybe I said home field instead of home court. I guess I did. Oh, boy.
That's pretty much it then. So thank you everybody for joining us on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. The last podcast, it is presented by FanDuel. Ken, what is your last quote of the season?
For today's quote, we're going to go to Golden State. Golden State was actually on the road. And Steve Kerr had an explain a loss in Utah where he's, you know, trying to explain why they lost. He said, quote, "Nightlife. You should have seen Ron Adams last night. Got in at 4:30 a.m. Again, Steve Kerr, Ron Adams being their 71-year-old assistant coach. Attention, passengers. This three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line for the 2018-19 season. See you next year.